production.
From The Monthly and Listener, it's The Politics. I'm Rachel Withers, and today, green light. For those hoping for stronger action on climate change, the news that Labor has just about secured a majority comes as a disappointment. Many had hoped for a hung parliament, with Greens and climate-focused independents holding the balance of power, to force the Albanese government to set a more ambitious 2030 emissions reduction target, one that could actually keep warming below 1.5 degrees, perhaps. But despite an enormous outcome for those groups, with pundits here and abroad labelling this the climate election, the ALP won't need them to form government, though it will have to deal with an emboldened Greens Senate crossbench. Greens leader Adam Bandt has unsurprisingly been claiming a massive mandate on climate anyway, while the Teal independents are pushing Labor to go further. But they won't actually have to. Speaking to RN Breakfast, Treasurer Jim Chalmers made it clear that Labor wasn't intending to budge. Its targets were plenty ambitious, he said, while likely Climate Minister Chris Bowen has slapped down green demands for more aggressive decarbonisation, telling the Australian Financial Review that the government had a mandate for its plans. Make no mistake, however, the 47th Parliament has a clear mandate to go further on climate, a directive the Labor Party ignores at its peril. Electoral mandates are, of course, slippery things. It's often hard to pin down exactly which part of a campaign caused a party to win or lose, and politicians are always eager to spin that to suit their agenda. There are plenty of admirable things Labor can claim to have a mandate on in this election, although much of that does come down to not being the Morrison government. But it's not clear that the new government, which lost the seat of its environment spokesperson to a Greens candidate on the weekend, has a mandate on its insufficient 2030 target of a 43% cut on 2005 levels. There is nothing to say that this 2030 target is now fixed, as Scott Morrison used to insist his was, even as he committed feebly to net zero by 2050, and as the rest of the world continued to move well past us. One thing that is clear from this election is that the Australian people want more action on climate. Much more. Even if they didn't win a strict balance of power, the quote, green slide in Queensland and elsewhere, with the Greens' primary vote rising as the major parties fell, as well as the so-called teal wave in the inner cities, showed that Australians were overwhelmingly voting on climate, following a term that saw devastating fires and floods at home and existential heat waves abroad. Arguably, the only reason these groups didn't end up with a balance of power on the numbers, despite such a massive showing, was because the electorate was so jack of the dinosaurs in the coalition, with even the Nationals' vote falling in some places, despite their leaders' insistence that all is well. As the Chaser's Craig Rucastle tweeted on election night, the coalition's likely only gain is in Gilmore, and that would have a lot to do with the candidate there having spoken out against the coalition during the bushfires. As Rucastle joked, it's the climate, stupid. And it's simply stupid for the Labor Party not to listen just because they can scrape their way to 76 or 77 seats. It's understandable that Labor is reluctant to go further, despite this massive green light from the electorate. The spooked party had lowered its 2030 target by 2%, along with most of its progressive ambitions, following their 2019 election loss. And Labor figures have been eager throughout this campaign to insist that they would not be swayed by the Greens. But times have changed, clearly. It's also understandable that the ALP doesn't want to alienate the minority who didn't vote for stronger climate action this election, with Chalmers talking constructively of working with everyone. Although when has that ever stopped the absolute minority in the Nationals, who get only a small fraction of the national vote, dictating the entire nation's plans? It's increasingly clear that the increasingly powerless holdouts in the Nationals' party room will never get on board, no matter how big or small Labor's ambitions are, and there is little point pandering to them when much of the nation has voted for transformational change. Labor's climate policies are not uniformly terrible, and there's no doubt that the party is now sharing in the spoils of the climate election by being better than the coalition's extremely low bar on climate. But as many on the right keep correctly pointing out, Labor's 33% primary vote is rather low. A large chunk of the vote that has swept the coalition out of power went to the Greens and the Teals. And those voters surely deserve some say in the policy outcomes, even if their representatives don't end up with the balance of power. This, after all, could be one of the last elections in which either party secures a majority, with experts predicting an end to the two-party system. And Australians have clearly had enough of one-party rule. Elsewhere in politics, we're starting with our good opinion of the day. Inclusive leadership strategist Kat Tau Nguyen calls out Labor's treatment of Fowler residents, saying the ALP's attempt to gain support from the Vietnamese community was suggestive of a tokenised approach to diversity. As she writes in the Sydney Morning Herald, the residents of Fowler may simply be voters to some, but for Dai Li, Tu Li and me, these people are our family. That is why Labor lost Fowler. And in Bad Opinion, opinion writer Lillian Andrews returns to a tired trope in arguing why the Liberals should give up on the Teal seats and the, quote, platinum progressives. She writes in The Australian, it is because the Liberals have started to speak more about the daily lives of the working class than the pet causes of socially smug doctors' wives. Talking numbers, and there will be a record 10 First Nations parliamentarians in the incoming 47th Parliament, with Marion Scrimgeour, Dr. Gordon Reid, and Janice Stewart joining the Labor benches, along with new Senator Jacinta Numpa-Jinpa-Price for the opposition's Country Liberal Party. And in today's policy, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese will sign Australia up to a US-led 13-member economic alliance, representing about 40% of the world's economy, which is aimed at countering China's Indo-Pacific dominance. In today's episode of 7am, right now, one of Australia's most decorated soldiers, Ben Robert Smith, is suing the Nine Papers over a series of articles alleging war crimes. Some witnesses have told the court they saw Robert Smith unlawfully kill people. Others say he was acting inside the rules of engagement. Today, Rick Morton on the latest evidence in the Ben Robert Smith defamation case. Listen to 7am now on the Listener app. And that is The Politics for Tuesday, May 24. Subscribe to The Politics on the Listener app to hear new episodes as soon as they drop. And head to themonthly.com.au to subscribe to The Politics newsletter, delivered straight to your inbox every weekday afternoon. I'm Rachel Withers, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.